Oh, believe it or not, the NFL draft almost upon us. Tomorrow night it gets underway in Detroit. And here to talk NFL draft with us, one of our favorite guests from NFL Media, CBS, Charles Davis joins us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Charles! Happy draft eve to you, sir.
And happy draft eve to you gentlemen as well.
I see you got your latest mock, your last mock out on NFL.com today.
Did it drop?
Oh,
finally?
I'm looking at it right now, Charles. And this guys, is, I want to start here.
Do you know the agony I went through? Do you guys know the loss of sleep? Do you know that if I could sue the NFL mock draft gods, I would be in front of them. I'd wear the powdered wig and robes to go in front of them and argue that you're taking life away from all of us by requiring these darn mock drafts.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I've read a million of them. I've never done one. I never want to. But the interesting thing that stood out to me first, and we'll get to the Cardinals at number four, but the way you have the quarterbacks going, because a lot of people have the quarterbacks maybe 1 through 4, maybe 1 through 5. You've got 6 going in the top 13, but a separation. Williams, Daniels, McCarthy going 1, 2, 3. And then as you get later in the first round, Drake May falling to 11, Bo Nix to Denver at 12, and Michael Penix Jr. all the way to up to 13 with the Raiders. I'd love to hear your thinking on that.
Yeah, I don't do trades in my mock draft. Mm-hmm. I'm not smart enough. So the 1, 2, 3, 4 you're seeing from everyone are all the smart people who are saying trade's going to happen. Someone's going to come up and talk to Monty Austin for it at 4, take that spot, take the fourth quarterback, which makes a lot of sense. Okay, I absolutely, truly believe that there's a great possibility of that happening. Whether they get it done with Monty at 4, Joe Hortiz, the GM of the Los Angeles Chargers, he's open for business. Remember, they're cap strapped. So he's like, cool, who wants to talk? Plus, they have a lot of holes to fill. Isn't it amazing how fast the Chargers went from that's the job you want to take this offseason to that roster's not as good as we thought?
Mm.
It happened quick. And it's true in my mind. So the Giants have had discussions about can they possibly be in the quarterback ranks at 6? You see where I'm going with this. I just don't do trades. I have everyone stick and pick in mind. I don't have enough brain power to do this trade to that, that to that, that to that. But the Raiders are a team that discussed moving up. Denver's a team that's discussed moving up. You see where I'm going with that?
I do, yeah.
The Vikings with 2 picks in the first round, obviously. And I'm going to give you my wild card first round team. The Rams have a first round pick for the first time since 2016, have 11 picks overall, and less need the author of F those picks might say, love those picks. Now let's use them.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All right, as a former defensive back, I'm curious your take on the wide receivers in this draft. The Cardinals obviously have a pressing need. They need a number one, and they need one that's going to work well for Kyler Murray, giving him a big target downfield, all of that stuff. Where if you were the GM of the Cardinals, how do you handicap and rank these wide receivers?
Well, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the number one guy. Is it as huge a gap at wide receiver position as maybe it is, like, Brock Bowers is number one tight end. Who's the number two? No, it's not that big because there's a chasm there. Okay. But a wide receiver, to me, it's still Marvin Harrison at 1. Everyone's fighting it out over whether it's Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze at 2 or 3, which one goes 2, which one goes 3. I get it. And Brian Thomas Jr. seems to be the acknowledged 4 out of LSU, but there's so many guys. Adonai Mitchell from Texas. Can't discount Xavier Worthy because he ran 4.21. Troy Franklin didn't have the greatest combine, but his production is big, but he's 177 pounds.
Yeah.
Keon Coleman's a big wide receiver. Is he as nifty as you want him to be, or is he a jump ball guy? And then you got, you know, Ortega Whiteside. Whiteside, remember him coming out of Stanford?
Uh-huh.
J.J. Ortega Whiteside, who could only be a red zone jump ball type guy and not even that. See, so those are things you're trying to put in there, you know? Devontae Walker played half a year at North Carolina because of the NCAA issue. There's a million receivers. Ladd McConkey, if you want a slot. Okay, I'll stop there.
Yeah, that's, you're that's, flexing, that's Charles.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you've got in terms of the flavor and how many of them come off the board in the first round. And then when we start day 2, that second round at the top, how fast do they start to come off the board again? Does someone make a move overnight to move up to the top there to get one of those receivers because they're flying off the board at that point?
Yeah. Charles Davis, our guest here on the Arizona Sports Line. I want to stay on the wide receivers and focus on Marvin Harrison Jr. I read a piece that appeared on The Athletic that Bruce Feldman put together, and it was a collection of anonymous quotes from NFL people that are working in the league right now. And it indicated, hey, it's not a foregone conclusion that Harrison's the best receiver. But one quote in particular from an NFL personnel guy said, I'm paraphrasing, I wish he would have done more in terms of workouts. He seems a little bit casual to me. And that kind of knocked him down on the pecking order in this person's eyes. In your intel that you've done on this class, have you heard those critiques on Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yeah, I certainly have. And you know something? You guys have to cover college sports too, right? So I'm going to give you my analogy on it. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The NIL. So the NIL's in play now, right? It is breaking down that when athletic departments go and ask for money, which they always do, right? You go and get the big money from people to support your program. The older those people skew, the more that they say, I'll give you money for the program, but it's all going for bricks and mortar. Go for facilities, go for this, go for that, scholarships, whatever. But not a dime of my money goes for NIL. The younger people skew that have money, they work with, what are they called, the collectives now?
Yeah.
That are putting it together for that. They're like, put that money out there and go get me some good football players and win some football games. The older scouts want you to work out.
Yeah.
The younger scouts, they kind of get that you have the leverage now.
Uh-huh.
And I'll give you one last thing on Marvin Harrison Jr. Maybe not a lot of people know, but I'm telling you, this is straight goods. When he went to the combine, remember he didn't work out.
Sure.
And everybody was flipping out, right? He and his representatives contacted the combine a month ahead of time and said, listen, he's doing an internship. He doesn't want to miss a lot of work. Can he come in a day early, get measured, tested, you know, talk to teams, do all that stuff? He's not doing the field workouts anyway. Can he come in and do that and then get back to his internship? They did it without fanfare. They didn't announce it to the world. The combine people said absolutely, worked with him and did it. Done.
Yeah.
So anyone saying casual, I don't think it's casual.
Wow.
I think it's deliberate. Do we have to do all this working out when it's all out there on tape?
No.
Okay, so the flip side is, remember the name Sidney Jones from Washington, the corner?
Yep. Yeah.
He did the pro day workout, right? Do you remember when he blew his Achilles at the pro day workout? Yeah. Do you remember exactly what went down?
I don't remember the exact details.
The workout was over, and someone, one of the scouts, and no one's fault, it happens all the time, but this tells you where the bad luck kicks in. Can we get one more rep?
Ugh.
And it blew.
Yeah. So that's something of a false narrative that's kind of shrouding over Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that's very interesting.
Remember, it's my opinion.
No, okay? I think you're right on the money.
It's my opinion on this one. It's what I know to be true in terms of that one instance. But the idea that we're going to put these kids through multiple things, each team comes in, works them out. If a kid wants to do it, I'm saying more power to him. If a kid is a Marvin Harrison Jr. and says,
Yeah.
It's a new world, folks.
You're so right. The old guard mentality is that if you as a young football player aren't willing to jump through hoops to embrace this opportunity that we are affording you, there must be a character defect here.
Yes. How dare you, young man, defy me who's come here to work you out?
Exactly.
Isn't that pathetic? I'm about to be 60. That's us as old people. That's what we do. We're not used to our authority being questioned. We're used to you wanting to jump over hoops because we showed up in town. And by the way, when I was in school, that's how it worked.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
And by the way, you know who would have been jumping through hoops? Me. Okay? So I totally get it. But I was never as good as Marvin Harrison Jr. I was never as good as these top level guys where you can make the dictate and do it. Caleb Williams. No, I'm not doing medical for anyone I'm not going to visit with. Imagine saying that 10 years ago.
Yeah, how about it?
5 years ago?
Blackballed.
Yeah. Charles, wish we had another hour with you.
Great stuff,
Enjoy
man.
The draft, and thanks for putting out the mock draft. We appreciate all the hard work, man.
Hey, I appreciate it. You know, I thought about putting it out there like Lloyd Dobler and Say Anything and put it on a boombox and hold it up in front of your studio. But we just decided to go social media on this one. So.
That's good enough. Thanks, Charles. We'll talk soon.